Oh, we're going to look this morning in Psalm 31, my teaching entitled, This Morning, He Cares for Us. I think we hear that repetitively throughout the manifestations, throughout the prayers, and I thought it'd be just great to look at this subject in particular from God's Word to hear this morning. Psalm 31, and we'll start in verse 11. I was a reproach among all mine enemies, but especially among my neighbors, and a fear to mine acquaintance. They that did see me without fled from me. I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I am like a broken vessel. For I have heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side. While they took counsel together against me, they devised to take away my life. But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, Thou art my God. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake. Let me not be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon thee. Let the wicked be ashamed and let them be silent in the grave. Let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak grievous things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for he hath showed me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. Very powerful. David just pouring his heart out before God. Obviously, there were some troubling things going on in the man's heart. But he realized that my times are in thy hands and that I'm hidden in this secret dwelling place of your presence, God. I thought, with all the storms that are kind of brewing in life, if you haven't noticed, there are waves of, like a hurricane blowing out there every time you turn on the TV. Every time, actually even talking with people in the fellowship, people at work, what are they talking about? The economic times in which we live. Would you say that's pretty accurate? Most people are very, very, very concerned about the economic times in which we live, and in particular, how they're going to survive and how they're going to get through these very, very difficult times that the world is laying down at the feet of the believers. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 33 for a moment. Because we live in this world, we're not pre-programmed to just think positive thoughts all the time. And so we have to deal with issues, real issues, issues that affect us, issues that may be affecting you right at this very moment. They're real. They're not make-believe. They're not fake. They're happening. But how do we deal with that in a positive, solution-oriented manner rather than being so affected by the circumstances that it causes us to stress out and to get all worked up about something that we really have no control over? See, Isaiah 33:6. Maybe you've heard this verse before. Wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times, and the strength of salvation, the fear of the Lord, is his treasure. The word strength here means riches or abundance. In the Hebrew, it precedes the words wisdom, knowledge, and salvation. And the New International Version translates this verse, He will be the sure foundation for your times, a rich store of salvation and wisdom and knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the key to this treasure. More easily translated, the Lord is the stability of our times. Sure, there's storms brewing. There's always storms brewing. But you know what? We can take confidence that God and God's Word are the stability, the balancing force, no matter what is raging on, according to the standard of the world. Look at Psalm 62. And God cares for us. You know, in the Word of God, it says that every hair on our head is numbered. That's beyond anything you could do. You can't even see them all, except for those gray ones that are popping out every now and then. And Anton told me yesterday that he's actually has some gray hairs. And how old are you, Anton? 18. Oh, see, so. But is that a negative thing? Nah, I don't know. I mean, the Lord is the stability of our times. See? Not whether your hair's red, green, purple, gray, or blue, or whatever color it is. It's our lives are so much greater than that. See. How about Psalm 62? I don't really like that verse there. I mean, I love it, but I must have been thinking about something else. But this is, for Zion's sake will I not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all kings the glory, and thou shalt be called by a new name which the mouth of the Lord shall name. Oh, I'm in Isaiah. That's why it's not making sense. Sorry. What is this thing about Isaiah? I don't know. Oh, yeah, there you go. I like it now. Psalm 62:1. Truly my soul waiteth upon God. From Him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. You know, Bob and I didn't even talk about what songs we were singing this morning, except one. I know He cares for me. I shall not be greatly moved. He only is my rock, my salvation. He's my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. We're going to stand through hell or in high water, no matter what. Amen? Yeah. Because our feet are rooted, are grounded in the knowledge that the Lord is the stability of our times. Not the U.S. government. Not what person gets elected to be president. All these different things that just get all worked up. Truth of the word? Simple. Very simple. What about Psalm 46? And I'll try to stay in Psalms this time. I couldn't figure out how that fit. Of course it didn't. Psalm 46, verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Psalm 46, 1. Therefore will not we, what? Fear. Though the earth be, what? Removed. And though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Look at verse 10. be still. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. You know what God asks us to do in the middle of the storms of life? It's raging. It's just raging out there. Be still and know that I am God. That we don't have to be conditioned by all this other stuff. We are conditioned by what this Bible says. The Holy Scriptures. The Word of God. That alone is the only source of truth that can be trusted. Okay, now we are going to Isaiah 54. And pretty soon we're going to go to a book that you probably never go to and read. Isaiah chapter 54. Verse 10. For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee. Neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord, that have mercy on me, on thee. Mountains, hills, whatever. God's kindness somehow can, like, just beacon down right into our lives, and we just get to enjoy the benefits of God's kindness and God's goodness. Let's look at Psalm 55, 22. Psalm 55, 22. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall what thee? Sustain. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Never. Cast your burden. You know what the word cast means? Throw it. Hurl. The word is balo from the Greek. What word do you think we get in the English from the word balo? Ball. What do you do with a ball? Normally you throw it. You kick it. You do something with it. The word cast says hurl, throw, get rid of those burdens, those cares, those things that weigh you down. I actually brought some casting implements today, so Kent, maybe you want to bring those up here. Kent, right back there. Kent or Ken or both. Well, many of you have seen these types of implements before. They're raising their hand. That wasn't a question. I said many of you have seen these types of implements before. What are these? Fishing poles. Do you know what? They've improved these a little bit from the old cane pole down by the riverbank with the corncob pipe. As a matter of fact, all three of these are a different size, lengthwise. Oh, look at that. That worked out perfectly. But these are designed for a specific purpose. Not only are they really beautiful, implements, and really work effectively, but these are designed for a very specific reason. And for the most part, anyone who's ever been fishing realizes that the ideal thing is not to drop the bait right next to the boat. That happens. You just, you know, the bait goes straight down. But what do you do? You throw, you cast the bait, the lure, as far out as you possibly can. That's what the word cast means. Cast your burdens. Throw them to God. See, we can understand that in terms of fishing. See, that's what the length of the pole and the flexibility of the pole, all designed. You ever seen something like a surf casting rod? They're about twice as long. Why is that? So they can throw the bait out beyond where the surf is breaking, right? Yeah. That's what these are designed for. These are casting implements. See? God asks us to cast our burdens upon Him. Anybody ever had a burden? Anyone ever tried to carry it themselves? Sure, we've all done it. But yet the instruction of God's word is to throw it, hurl it, get rid of it. It's an action word. Don't carry those things because they do cause stress. They do cause anxiety. They do cause sadness. They do cause hurt and a wide variety of other things that eventually could even begin to affect your health. Okay. Look in 1 Peter chapter 5. I want to read a verse of scripture to you. First Peter chapter 5. Verse 7. Al, what does that say?
Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you.
Yep. Casting. Casting how much? All. It's just like you got a line going through this. You bait up the sardine or whatever it is. You know what? You bait up all your cares. All your burdens. All your distractions. All the things that weigh you down. And you tie them to the end of this line. And you throw them as far away from you as possible. And in the process, they land in the lap of God, who's much more capable of handling those burdens, those cares, and all those other things than we are as mere human beings. Thank you. So God exhorts us to take those burdens, take those cares, take those pains, take those hurts, and tie them on the end of this string, figuratively speaking, and throw them as far away from you as you possibly can get them. There are good people who practice casting, and they're really good. And then there are others who, have you ever tried casting? Some people cast and it gets like all a big bird's nest and it lands like right there. Or they throw the bait off. I mean, it's really interesting. You ought to try it fishing sometime. It's an interesting experience and adventure. But the point is, this is a casting implement to throw. Get rid of that stuff. See? Casting all of your care upon Him. For He careth for you. He knows every hair on your head. How many is that? There's some less than others. But you know what? He still knows the number. That's because God cares for us. That's because He loves us. That's because it's not about what you and I can accomplish and try to prove before God. It's walking with Him because He's already free, so freely given. And all we got to do is say, okay. Okay. All right, here's that verse I was talking about. Nahum chapter 1. Thank God for those indexed Bibles. Nahum chapter 1. And for those of you listening to this on the CD, we've paused a moment to get to the book of Nahum. Like I said, it's not someplace we normally, you know, would be reading from. So, but there's a great verse in here. In verse 7. Nahum chapter 1, verse 7. Says the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and He knoweth them that trust in Him. In a more literal translation of this verse, is the Lord is good, He cares for those who trust in Him. He cares for those who trust in Him. Hey, is there any question that God is good? God is, He is so good, and He cares for you. He cares for me. He cares about every tiny little detail about me because He loves me. And the same for you. God is so good, so loving, so gracious, so wonderful. And we have the joy of being able to have an intimate relationship with the Creator of the heavens and the earth. And it's been great on Thursday night. Jan is developing the topic of the tabernacle right now. It's very, very interesting, the types of things that went on in the Old Testament and people's access to God. It wasn't so readily available. And you know, there were three gates in the tabernacle. One got into the inner courtyard, second one got into another courtyard, and there's a third one. You know what those gates were called? The way, the truth, and the life. Those three gates led to the presence of God. Check it out. It's not uncommon knowledge. But man, I'll tell you what, when I heard that, I kind of like, whoa. Such a blessing. What did Jesus Christ refer to himself as? The way, the truth, and the life. No man, no woman cometh to the Father but by me. And once you walk through that gate, open access. 24/7. All the time. God's always available. Next place we're going to be going is Isaiah. Maybe that's what I'll title this teaching. Isaiah or Psalms? No. Isaiah 25. Do you know what I want to say before I read that verse? God is for us. God is not working against us. God is for you. God is for me. God is on our side. Thank you. God is for us. And you know what? Maybe if you don't remember anything else about this teaching, you'll remember that. God is for us. Let's just say that all together. God is for us. God is for me. God is for me. It may not look like in the five senses that anything's happening for you. God's for you. God is for me. God is for me. Remember that tomorrow morning when you don't feel like it. Say those four words aloud to yourself tomorrow. God is for me. God is for me. You may not feel like it. You may feel like staying in bed. You get up. God is for me. He cares for me. God wants the best for me. See? Remember that when you've failed. Remember that when you have somehow maybe broken fellowship with God and you're feeling guilty. And you're laying down there and you're wondering, how did I ever get down here? It's not how long and how many times you get hit. It's how quickly do you get back up. See? We all get hit. How quickly do you get back up? God is for me. That's the truth of the word. That's what we've been reading about here. See? God says, take all those cares, all those things, and wham! Throw them out there. Throw them. Get them away. Hurl. Hurl them suddenly. We know what hurling normally is in regards to, right? But you know when that happens even? It happens quickly, doesn't it? Just not a pleasant analogy, but it's true. It's true. See? To get them away from you. Get them away from you. Because all they are is extra baggage. And the world is trying to pound you all the time with extra baggage that you don't need. You're already on a journey. You don't need any extra bags. Those bags are being charged to your account. Get rid of them. Great statement once said, if you want to go far and fast with God, you've got to what? Travel light. You got to travel light, guys. We can't carry the burdens of the world. We can't solve the economic crisis of our world and of our country. We can't solve the Iraq war. But one thing we can do, we can cast our cares to God, and we can travel light, knowing that God is for me. God is for me. Wow. Let's look in Isaiah chapter 26. Probably heard this verse before too, huh? Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Whoa. Thou will keep him in perfect peace. Is that conditioned by circumstances of the world? Economic failure? You having to move out of your house? No. We can't condition everything we do based on the storms of life that are raging around us. But you know sometimes what comes trickling out of our mouth? Same thing everybody else is saying. You're right. You know, boy, oh man, Washington Mutual, oh my God. Oh. Pretty soon, you know what? Out of the abundance of the heart, guess what? The mouth speaks. What you speak out is extremely important. That's why it's such a privilege for me to be able to get up here and teach God's Word. Because we speak out the Word. Speak out the Word. Very powerful. Very powerful. That will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in thee. Why would you not want to trust in God? Give me a good reason. Because somehow it's affecting your freedom? To do what? To do whatever you want to do? Oh, great. Let's try and sell that. Okay? That's a better path to go down than walking with God and trusting in God and maintaining a quality of perfect peace. I'm not buying that. On guard. On guard. You know, Ken shared something about the word constraining. We're constrained to walk with God. You know why? It's the best choice. It's like once you begin to really see the greatness of this thing, the beauty of it, the Word of God, everything that's available to us, it's like, why would I want to do anything else? But live for God, walk for God. What else would I want to do? Become the CEO of AIG? What else is it that I would want to do? Go back to college? Constrained. You see the greatness of God's Word, everything that's laid out before you, and the choice is simple. Of course you want to walk with God. Of course you want to trust in God. Because God's promises and the things that will bring spiritual fruit into your lives are not things that are being offered to you by the world. Your neighbor, the family dog. But God says, hey, you trust in me, you'll have perfect peace. Perfect. You know what? That's pretty good. Try getting beyond perfect. And God doesn't even say you got to give up anything in that verse. Well, I got to. Really? You know, the greatest freedom comes in true commitment. The world is, you know, wants no responsibility, no commitment. You know what that is? Bondage. That's slavery. The greatest freedom, the greatest liberty is when you have the ability to choose what you're going to do. And of course, we're constrained to do what God says because it brings the greatest benefit. My gosh, it's just a dream come true. How could we possibly even begin to think that something else would be better? I have no idea. I don't have an answer to that question. I really don't. So, you know, in closing, I'm so thankful to know God's Word. Just a tiny little bit of it. If all I knew about God's Word is that God loved me, and I really believe that, that could change. Because you know what? People are still looking for love. And they're looking in all the wrong places many times. I did. 25 years I spent of my life looking for love in all the wrong places. Maybe you did too. That wasn't a pleasant trip. Like someone shared here, Al prayed about, different things we've talked about. What we're presenting to the world is love. The very thing every person in this world, in this planet, craves on the inside is to love and to be loved. Oh yeah, we live in an environment where people get hurt, they get used, they get abused, they get kicked around, on and on. But throughout all that, tear down all those walls, all this other stuff that the world has beat us up with, deep down inside, that is what people want. People are God hungry. They just don't know it. Because religion has so bound the ways of God that people are like, no way. Thank you very much. I'd much rather be down at the beach, hanging out, having a few beers, and just enjoying my life. Now, do you think that's a sound choice based on what we've shared and looked into from God's Word today? Absolutely not. Maybe that's because the God of this world has blinded the minds of those. Huh? Wow. So we've gone quite the gamut here this morning. But let's go with four words, shall we? The title of the teaching, He Cares for Us. He cares for us. That's four. He cares for us. And right along with that is God cares for me. God cares for me. You may not think anybody cares for you. You may go home and the family dog may bite you today. God cares for you. God will heal you up, too, need be. See. Sometimes we seek approval from the world. Sometimes we seek approval from our children, our spouses, our boyfriends, girlfriends, college professors, bosses, whatever. First of all, God cares for us, and God is for you. Now put that in your pipe and smoke it. This week, every day, and I'm not a proponent of smoking, but you get the point. God is for you. God is for you. Wow. So those are some good thoughts to think about. You can't count the hairs on your head. God already has them numbered because He loves you so much, so much. So, Heavenly Father, thank You for this awesome time to be into your word, to learn about casting our cares, our burdens, our shortcomings, failures, frailties, weaknesses, whatever they may be. We just hook them onto that line at the end of that rod and throw them from us as far as we can, Father. And that the promise of your word is that you will sustain us. You will take care of us. You'll be our sufficiency. You'll just honor us, bless us in your kindness in spite of anything. And therefore we can go forth fearlessly with a heart just filled with Christ's love and bring light and goodness and kindness to every situation that we're in. I pray for this week, Father, that we can remember that you care for us and that you're for us in each and every situation, circumstance, that all of God's people are involved in. And we pray in the wonderful, the powerful name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who will return to gather the body of Christ. And we await that day, Father, with words of thanksgiving in our heart and words of honor to praise you and to thank you. And we pray in his name today. Amen.